Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Jackson County Office of the Sheriff had their hands full with individuals on mini bikes headed into Easter weekend. Thursday evening, about 9:25, two deputies with the Sheriff's Office attempted to stop two mini bikes that were on McDevitt Avenue that were traveling down the road without lights on. One of the mini bikes fled while the other stopped and contact was made. According to the Sheriff's Office, the subject was operating a 212cc mini bike with an aftermarket engine. The subject was ultimately cited by authorities for operating an unregistered motor vehicle on public roadways, operating with no operator's license, and operating without insurance. Parents of the subject responded to the scene, and the motorbike was impounded. This came the day after another incident involving mini bikes was handled by law enforcement in the area of Weatherwax and Park Road for reckless driving and wreaking havoc in the area, resulting in a separate impoundment of a bike. A reminder from Ann Arbor Police today, be responsible. Lines are already forming outside of bars throughout downtown as students look to get a prime seat for tonight's national championship game. The police chief says everyone needs to be mindful of disruptive behavior, public intoxication, and property damage. Authorities also say be mindful of neighbors and local noise ordinances during late-night celebrations and ensure all personal property and vehicles are secured, particularly in high-density fan areas. An EF1 tornado touched down over the weekend in Wayne County, according to the National Weather Service, with an estimated wind speed of 100 miles per hour. The tornado was confirmed in Van Buren Township near Belleville during Saturday storms. The National Weather Service says the tornado started shortly after 5:45 Saturday afternoon, traveling for more than 3 miles, flipping a hayride trailer, uprooting trees, and snapping telephone poles across its path. A large barn wall was also blown out. Further south in Monroe County, straight-line wind damage was also reported in Whiteford Township and the Lambertville area. Car makers are being warned to expect to see more changes related to tariffs. Auto Beat reporter Jeff Gilbert.
The last year already seen a lot of change. PwC Consulting says more is likely to come as we see investigations continue and now negotiations of the USMCA trade deal. Steve Britt studies tariffs for PwC.
We continue to see churn. We continue to see change, and we don't expect that to let up.
An analysis by Automotive News puts the automaker's total cost of tariffs at $35 billion.
Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
Many Americans are feeling the squeeze from higher prices on everything from groceries to cars because of the tariffs. President Trump put 10% global tariffs on most goods after the Supreme Court ruled that many of his previous tariffs were unlawful. Wayne State University Associate Professor Dr. Jeff Reitmer says these tariffs can stay in place until the end of July, which is when Congress can decide whether to renew it.
They look into the trade practices of the other countries that 10% tariff went on and see if there is, in fact, some kind of trade imbalance that would warrant further sanctions.
He says his best advice to avoid some of those high prices is shop around and look for sales. There's been talk about high gas prices pushing more people to electric vehicles. We haven't seen any impact yet.
It's early, says David Tinsley, the senior economist at Bank of America Institute. EV sales have been depressed after the end of federal tax credits, and it's possible it won't be electric vehicles that get the boost from high gas prices.
So it could be that people don't necessarily go back to EVs, but do double down on hybrids to ride out this gasoline period.
Hybrid sales were already on the rise even before gasoline prices started to go up. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
At his latest appearance on AM Jackson this past Friday, U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg joined the program on a variety of topics, including a hearing in his Workforce and Education Committee that had multiple major university leaders talk about how they're making efforts to curb foreign actors from acting maliciously in American higher education.
Our hearing had last week was president of the University of Michigan, interim president Grasso was there, did a great job, admitted to some of the failures that they'd had in the past, gave evidences of and examples of what they're doing now, what they put in place with specific attention toward any outside espionage or involvement on students or on the institution itself. We had a representative from the University of Florida. They do a great job and have a full-blown department that looks into these type of things. And then we had the editor of the Stanford Review, a noted student newspaper on a college campus, and she had done some investigation into Chinese involvement there at Stanford.
Congressman Wahlberg also discussed the recent Artemis II launch and how this launch could set the stage for bigger space expeditions in the future.
I mean, to think that this was done on a rocket ship whose rockets returned and can be reused, and we're going farther than mankind has ever gone if this is successful, where they orbit the dark side of the moon that I couldn't see, even if I could with a telescope. That's amazing. And the type of opportunity this will produce, I think we have to accept the fact that this is really being done to ultimately advance our opportunity to go to Mars.
He also commented on remarks that President Trump made last week in regard to the conflict in Iran, which he called out NATO.
He wanted to say the other night, here's where we're at. This is why we've done it. These are our concerns. This is our frustration with other countries that won't step up and do what they ought to do. NATO has been a paper tiger all its entire life, and we've been paying the lion's share of what NATO resources have. And, you know, I think he had a reason to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think he also gave us the fact of the matter that we're about at the end. We about wrapped it up for our purposes. What else goes on may continue, but our purposes are to make sure that Iran never has a nuclear armed capability.
More from Congressman Tim Wahlberg can be found on the April 3rd episode of the AM Jackson podcast, WKGM.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are concerns being raised that an idled Stellantis plant in Canada could be used to build China's brand vehicles.
Stellantis will only say it's exploring a number of options to keep the Brampton, Ontario plant running. Bloomberg says that could include building vehicles for Leapmotor, a Chinese brand that Stellantis has a stake in. Canadian union officials have raised concerns that the vehicles would be assembled from Chinese-made parts.
AutoBeat reporter Jeff Gilbert says the Trump administration has vowed to keep Chinese brand vehicles from being sold in the United States. A legislative push in the state of Maine could signal where the national debate over data centers is headed.
Lawmakers in Maine are considering a pause on all new data center construction in that state as concerns grow about energy usage and strain on local infrastructure. The move comes as similar restrictions are already adopted or proposed in parts of Indiana, Missouri, and Georgia. The issue is, of course, familiar here in Michigan. City council meetings statewide have been packed over the last year as residents voice their opposition or support for data centers in their communities. While Maine weighs restrictions on data centers, Michigan's legislature has approved tax incentives aimed at attracting more AI investment.
Jay Dennis for the Michigan News Network.
A drug that's available at gas stations across the state may be there for a little while.
It's known as gas station heroin for its opioid-like effects. Kratom can lead to health issues, but still, Michigan is one of the states where it remains unregulated, even to children. Republican House Speaker Matt Hall said they've passed a bill to outlaw it, and now he's urging the Democratic majority in the Senate to do the same.
You know, we're better off banning kratom rather than legitimizing kratom, endorsing it on behalf of the government, and then giving people more false confidence that this is something that's safe to use.
However, Hall says it seems unlikely the Senate would pass a ban, which is why they're hosting roundtable events to make the public aware of its dangers. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Most people are familiar with the Artemis II mission, but did you know there's a Michigan connection? Michigan scientists built a space weather model that measures when radiation could be harmful. University of Michigan professor Lulu Zhao says space radiation isn't a concern until you're outside the Earth's atmosphere.
when we go outside of the Earth's environment, for example, if we fly to the moon, then the Earth's magnetic field will not be able to protect us anymore. That's a time when the space radiation environment prediction is more important.
Artemis II is expected to splash down in the Pacific Ocean on April 10th. There's a record enrollment in preschool in Michigan and a new program, My Early Apprentice, is trying to do something about it.
When the governor announced Pre-K for All a couple of years ago, it increased the ability for Michigan to serve more children in the early childhood setting. But of course, if you're serving more children, you need more teachers. And the number is right around 6,000 more teachers that we need across the state if we're going to meet this demand.
That's Jack Isley, president and CEO of the Michigan Educator Workforce Initiative. He says My Early Apprentice is a certification pathway program for people who want to become an early childhood teacher. He says applications for the tuition-free program close on May 1st.
This program allows them to get what's called their CDA, which is their first level certification, then their associate's, and then their bachelor's degree to become a lead teacher in an early childhood setting, completely cost-free, and maybe more importantly, allows them to keep their current job in early childhood while they're getting those degrees and credentials.
Isley says they've received hundreds of applications for the program. Many parents teach their kids to call 911 if they need help, but what does that mean to a child? Videos and stories on social media talk about kids that call for help with homework, asking what time it is, and to tell officers when a sibling is being mean to them. Warren PD Public Information Officer John Kaczewski says it's important to teach kids what is and is not an emergency.
If somebody is sick, right, or a medical emergency, that would be an appropriate reason. Of course, any smoke, a fire is appropriate. Certainly, you know, a little harder to tell depending on the age of the kids, but if they certainly identify a crime in progress, you know, any stranger danger, that's a big one, that it is appropriate to call 911.
He says teaching kids to write their own first and last names, their address, and at least one phone number will all help in a real emergency situation. State of Michigan wants more people to become organ donors.
The Michigan Department of State recognized April as Donate Life Month, a time dedicated to celebrating organ, eye, and tissue donors. Last year, over 200,000 Michigan residents joined the Michigan Organ Donor Registry, which according to the state is safe and secure. Now, if you'd like to become an organ donor, you can always opt to be one when you file your taxes, or you can register online or at any Secretary of State office. According to Gift of Life Michigan, more than 2,700 people are currently waiting for a transplant. Taylor Dietz for the Michigan News Network.
Western Michigan University will soon announce a large donation. Tomorrow afternoon in Schneider Hall, remarks will be made from the Dean of the Haworth College of Business and the President of the University to talk about the largest gift in their history and how the investment will further business education. Remarks are scheduled to happen just around noon. The Arbor Day Foundation is recognizing 283 communities worldwide, and this year Michigan has three of them. Ann Arbor, Birmingham, and Grand Haven have made the list of Tree Cities of the World. The program recognized cities and towns that use urban forestry to enhance the livability and sustainability of their area. How safe is your food? The Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development is reminding you to take precautions when preparing food. Wash your hands frequently. Start with a clean kitchen and separate cutting boards and utensils from raw meats. Refrigerate eggs, even hard-boiled, and don't leave your leftovers out for more than 2 hours. Google Trends has determined that among all 50 states, Michigan comes in at number one as the state with the highest enthusiasm for the sweet stuff at Easter. Pennsylvania and Ohio trail the mitten at number two and three, respectively. The state with the least enthusiasm for candy, Wyoming, around Easter time. Top five most popular Easter candies in the U.S. are in order from 5 to 1, Reese's Eggs, Swedish Fish, Jelly Bellies, Chocolate Bunnies, and Peeps. Citizens Research Council is turning 110 years old.
Founded in 1916, their not-for-profit public affairs research group doesn't lobby or endorse political candidates. They just present their findings in a way that could benefit public policy, and also in an objective way. Eric Luford, the president of the Citizens Research Council, talks about why it's important for organizations like theirs to exist.
Public policy is the foundation of our state and local governments, and we want our governments to be economic, efficient, accountable to the people. Having good public policy is fundamental to quality of life in Michigan.
Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
It's an opportunity to see some cool cars and help out a good cause.
Ken Lingenfelter is one of the area's best-known classic car collectors, and he puts his private collection on display from time to time to raise money for good causes. Next month, they open the Lingenfelter Collection to help the American Cancer Society.
You know, I'm kind of partial to Corvettes, so the whole center room, for the most part, is Corvettes, and people, when they come to take a look, they're going to see Corvettes like they've never seen before. And
the fundraiser is Saturday, May 2nd from 10 to 5 at the Lingenfelter Collection in Brighton. Admission is a donation to the American Cancer Society. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
Back to candy to wrap things up here a bit. Hershey says it's bringing back the classic Reese's recipe after facing backlash over ingredient changes.
The company plans to return all Reese's products to traditional milk and dark chocolate formulas by 2027. Some items, like seasonal candies, had been made with coatings containing less chocolate. The shift follows criticism from the grandson of Reese's founder, who questioned the company's move away from its original ingredients. Hershey says the change is part of a broader effort to meet consumer expectations, as it also plans to invest more in product development and update other candy recipes. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
It's Monday, and it's the sixth day of April. Today we celebrate Drowsy Driver Awareness Day. It's Fresh Tomato Day. We're certified fresh. Just saying. It's National Caramel Popcorn Day, National Hostess Twinkie Day. You can only eat those in twos. I know they package them individually now, but you can only eat those in twos. It's Jump Over Things Day. It's Plan Your Epitaph Day and New Beers Eve. Yeah, I'll take it. It was on this date in 1896, the first modern Olympic Games began in Athens, Greece. It was on this date in 1909, Robert Perry and Matthew Henson claimed to be the first men to reach the North Pole. On this date in 1917, Congress approved a declaration of war on Germany, and the U.S. entered World War I on the Allied side. On this date in 1947, the first Tony Awards were presented for the Best of Broadway. It was on this date in 1956. The iconic Capitol Records building opened in L.A. It was on this date in 1992. Barney and Friends premiered on PBS. Oh, parents loved it. It was on this date in 2006. Paleontologists reported the discovery of a fossil, a so-called missing link between fish and land mammals. That was in Tiktaalik Rosae. And it was on this date Senator Bernie Sanders won the Wisconsin Democratic presidential primary, while Senator Ted Cruz won the GOP primary. Birthdays today. Candace Cameron Bure is 50 today. Actress, Full House, Fuller House, and oh man, just a long list of Hallmark Christmas movies. Zach Braff from Scrubs, he's 51 today. Jason Hervey is 54, actor from The Wonder Years. Ari Myers from Kate and Ally is 57 today. Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, is 57 today. Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy, and well, he was also in The Walking Dead. He is Merle. Yeah, he's Daryl's brother, 71 today. Mary Lou Henner from Taxi is 74 today. John Ratzenberger from Cheers and Toy Story is 79 today.
Abominable! Can you believe that? Do I look abominable to you? Hey, why can't they call me the adorable snowman or the agreeable snowman, for crying out loud? I'm a nice guy.
snow cone?
Yeah, there's John Ratzenberger as the adorable snowman in Monsters. Barry Levinson, director, he's 84 today. He did Diner, he did Rayman, Good Morning Vietnam. Billy Dee Williams, 89 today. He was Lando Calrissian in Empire Strikes Back, and he was also the mayor in the first Batman movie, the one with Michael Keaton, the better Batman series. Other birthdays today. All right, I practiced this one. I practiced it, but usually when I practice it, I end up slaughtering it. Marku Lapalainen. Not too bad. 50, bassist from Hoobastank. From the Pixies, Black Francis, singer, 61 today. Andre Previn, composer and conductor, would have had a birthday today, passed away in 2019. And passing away in 2016, country music legend Merle Haggard would have had a birthday today.
They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country horse, you walking on the fighting side of me.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
I read about some squirrely guy who claims that he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And when they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Check in with your sports now here on AM Jackson. And Detroit Baseball Tigers, well, they were not able to complete the sweep last night as they fell to the St. Louis Cardinals 5-3. Detroit did get off to a 2-0 lead pretty early in the game off of this two-run bomb from Kerry Carpenter.
Carpenter swings. It's a fly ball center field. He put a charge into this one. Scott's going back and tracking it. He's at the wall. He's going to leap. He won't get it. Gone! Kerry Carpenter right over the 412 marker and straightaway center. His second of the year. Second in 2 days. 2-0 Tigers in the third.
And then it was a decent fifth inning for St. Louis as it was an RBI single that put them on the board. So Tigers leading at this point 2-1. And then an RBI bunt ties it up for St. Louis.
Bunt attempt again. Pretty good one. DeJesus is going to have to throw to first, and he throws it away down the right field line. My goodness. One run is in. Páez will be held at third. Scott bunted it right to DeJesus, and he threw it right by Spencer Torkelson in the dirt. We've got a 2-2 game. Runners at second and third, and still only one out here in the fifth.
And then a two-run single in the fifth would put the Cardinals up 4-2 on top of the Tigers. In the sixth, though, it was Baez getting a sac fly, and the Tigers playing a little catch-up. At this point, it's 4-3.
First pitch to Baez, swinging a line drive into right field. Walker's on the run. He's going to make a fine running catch toward the line. Dingler going back to third. He's coming home. Throw won't be in time. Dingler scores standing up. Line drive, sacrifice fly for Javi Baez. First pitch swinging. Tigers now trail 4-3.
Gorman gets a sack fly in the eighth. That puts the Cards up 5-3.
There we go.
But then Baez and Dingler, Baez has the best catching tag in the business right now. They catch Scott stealing. It's still 5-3 at this point.
There he goes. First pitch. Pitch outside. Throw down to second base. And they got him. Thanks to the best tagger in baseball.
Unbelievable.
Javi Baez catches the one-hop strike and drops the glove. Beautiful tag.
It's such a...
And that's where we'd land. 5-3 would be the final. Tigers lose.
Swinging a little pop-up. Shallow left field, and Sajacy, the shortstop, out to make the catch. And the Cardinals salvage the finale here at Comerica Park. four-run fifth inning is the difference in the game. Wipes out an early 2-0 Tigers lead. Our final score, Tigers take the series, but the Cardinals take the finale with a 5-3 win.
So Tigers, Twins tonight, they start their four-game series, and we're going to forego that contest. We're going to bring you NCAA Basketball National Championship Contest down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball from yesterday, it was the Guardians getting a 6-5 win over the Cubbies. The Diamondbacks beat the Braves 6-5. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they beat the Mariners 8-7. Athletics and Astros battling out to a football score, 12-10, that final there. Mets beat the Giants 5-2. Rockies over the Phillies 4-1. Reds beating the Rangers 2-1. White Sox shutting out the Blue Jays 3-0 there. Rays getting a win over the Twins 4-1. The Brewers beat the Royals 8-5. Stankies falling to the Marlins 7-6. It was the Dodgers over the Natties 8-6. Pirates beating the BOs 8-2. Padres over the Red Sox 8-7. They are panicking in Boston. And the Cubbies shutting out the Guardians 1-0 yesterday in baseball. AL Central standings right now has the Guardians in the top spot at 6-4. White Sox, Tigers, Royals all at 4-6 on the season, and the Twins are at 3-6. So it's early. It's early. We're going to track it for you throughout the season anyway, but it's early. We will be getting separation as we roll on through. From college baseball, Jackson College baseball, they had a set of a doubleheader set with Henry Ford Community College over the weekend on Saturday, but that was postponed. They're going to make that happen today at Corner Ballpark. That's going to be at 2 o'clock and at 4 o'clock, respectively, for the doubleheader. So Jackson College Jets on the road. The Lady Jets softball squad, they don't get into action until tomorrow, so we'll have details for you then. I believe that you could hear the faint sound of boos yesterday at Little Caesars Arena as the Wings fell to the Minnesota Wild, and the Wings basically, unless the earth stops spinning on its axis and things just dismantle all across the universe, it feels like the Wings are out of the postseason at this point. They have 88 points, trailing Ottawa for that last wild card spot, as the Wings will host the Blue Jackets tomorrow at Little Caesars Arena. Let's just go ahead and get right to the recap for you. Here's Ken Cal from yesterday.
Hi, this is Ken Cal. Kirill Kaprizov's power play goal with 1:41 left in regulation snapped a 4-4 tie, giving the Minnesota Wild a 5-4 victory over the Red Wings Sunday afternoon at Little Caesars Arena in the District of Detroit. Kaprizov had the hat trick and his 43 goals on the season. Trailing 4-1 going into the third, Axel Sandin Pelikka, JT Compher, and Patrick Kane all scored to tie the hockey game at 4. Kaprizov's game winner was a one-timer from the right circle, beating Cam Talbot up high. Albert Johansson opened the scoring with a goal 1 minute and 40 seconds into the opening period. Detroit has 88 points on the season, still on the outside looking in as far as the playoff picture is concerned. Again, the final score, Minnesota 5 and the Red Wings 4. The Red Wings host the Blue Jackets on Tuesday. You can catch all the action at 6:45 p.m. on the Detroit Red Wings radio network.
And looking at our Tuesday pocket schedule, yeah, we've got the Wings and the they're in action. 6:45 for the broadcast right here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Elsewhere, from the ice of the National Hockey League yesterday, the Penguins beat the Panthers 5-2. It was the Flyers in overtime getting a win over the Bruins 2-1. Boston fans just not happy. Senators on top of the Hurricanes 6-3. Rangers beat the Capitals 8-1. And the Devils shutting out the Canadiens 3-0 yesterday. Greg O'Connor's St. Louis Blues getting a win over the Avalanche 3-2 yesterday. So you take a look at the standings out of the Western Conference Central Division, Avs, Stars, Wild. They're in. Still waiting to see how things pan out for where those in the Pacific out of the Western Conference are going to end up. Atlantic Division out of the Eastern Conference, Lightning, Sabres, Canadiens, they're in. Metropolitan Division, Hurricanes, they're in. Rest of it still has yet to be figured out, but those are four teams out of the Eastern Conference that are in as we speak. On to the NBA, where yesterday it was the Nets topping the Wizards, 121-115. Suns on top of the Bulls, 120-110. Celtics beating the Raptors, 115-101. Bucks over the Grizzlies, 131-115. And the Cavaliers getting a win over the Pacers, 117-108. Thunder on top of the Jazz, 146-111. Magic beating the Pelicans, 112-108. Hornets over the Timberwolves, 122-108. Clippers getting a win over the Kings, 138-109. The Mavericks on top of the Lakers, 134-128. And the Rockets beating the Warriors, 117-116. Now, as far as the standings go, with the Pistons' win on Saturday, that gives them the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Now they are, we got the rest of the season to go to figure out who their first round opponent's going to be. But the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Cavs, they've all clinched a playoff position. Hawks, 76ers, Raptors, Hornets, Magic, and Heat have at least clinched a play-in position. That's out of the Eastern Conference. Out of the Western Conference, clinching a division, Thunder, Spurs, Lakers, clinching a playoff spot, Nuggets of the Connor Dockery. Connor Dockery's Denver basketball Nuggets, and the Rockets. They've clinched a playoff spot. Timberwolves, Spurs, Clippers, Trailblazers, and the below 500 Warriors have all clinched at least a play-in position. On to NCAA, where yesterday the women national champions are the Bruins of UCLA, as they just dominated from start to finish South Carolina, 79-51 for that final yesterday. Today, the men championship will be decided as number one seed Michigan takes on two seed UConn. 8:50 for the broadcast, or for the tip time, 8 o'clock for the broadcast here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Michigan, 7.5-point favorites. Matchup predictor says the Wolverines at 69.7%. Biggest question mark for the contest right now is the status of Yaxel Lendenborg, as he's heading into tonight's national championship game with that injury that he suffered in the semifinal, ankle and knee both getting tweaked, I guess you could say. Coaches say Lendenborg has been receiving treatment and will be a game-time decision. Sources indicate he's unlikely to be at full strength if he does suit up. Potential absence would be a significant blow, especially on the defensive end and on the glass. Tip-off set for tonight. Final word on Lendenborg expected closer to game time tonight. Lendenborg says he's playing. Coach May says, I don't know. I'm paraphrasing here, but he's basically saying, I don't know. It's up to the medical staff, and then Yaxel will have his say. So basically, Yaxel's already said, I'm playing. So it's basically up to the medical staff to say whether or not he's playing tonight. Well, to be determined. High school sports. Let's take a look at soccer. And girls soccer out of the Big 8 has Stockbridge at Springport, 5:30 for tonight. Elsewhere in high school soccer, let's pivot over to Cascades, as Center will be at Coldwater. Leslie will be at Hanover Horton. Jonesville will be at Hillsdale. The Center at Coldwater, that's a 6 o'clock kick time, 5:30 for Leslie at Hanover Horton and Jonesville at Hillsdale. Again, 5:30 kick times for both of those. Interstate 8 soccer, Milan will be at Western tonight. Kick time there is at 6 o'clock. And that's it. Well, the White, SEC White, does have Blissfield at Tecumseh tonight. But as far as local teams goes, that's it. Thank you, Ray, for sending in golf info for us. You've got Cascades Jamboree happening at Wolf Creek today. That's going to be at 1 o'clock. Baseball tonight, Vandy will be at Lenawee Christian, 4:30. Softball, Grass Lake will be at Western. That's at 5 o'clock. And that, my friends, is a full look at your sports. And
you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Davis.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Now, with that contest tonight, it's an 8 o'clock broadcast, and it's right here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. You get the U of M call. That perfect call that you've had all season long, you're going to have it right here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Now, down the hall to the left on Fox Sports. Now, this most likely is for our anybody but Michigan portion of the fan base. If you don't want to hear the Michigan-based call, if you want a true down-the-middle call for Michigan versus UConn tonight, we have that for you, too. So I would expect a lot of MSU fans would head over that way. I would expect a lot of Ohio State University fans would head over that way too. So if you want that call, which is, again, neutral, right down the middle, it's on Fox Sports 101.9 FM tonight. And that is going to be actually the coverage there starts at 6:30. And again, for an 8:50 tip-off, that's a lot of pre-coverage. That's a lot of pre-game coverage. From Westwood One on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. And it's a pleasure to have in the studio with us here today from the DDA, we have Beth Kuiper joining us here this morning. Beth, good morning!
Hey, good morning! Thank you so much for having me!
Well, thanks for being here, and I know we're excited to talk about, what, is this the second installment of Tuesday 10s tomorrow?
Yes, it is.
Okay, tell us about it.
So April 7th is tomorrow. The first Tuesday of the month, we have Tuesday 10. So every first Tuesday of the month from 11 to 2 is a $10 lunch at 18 different locations.
Okay.
Within our boundaries, yes.
Yeah, I was looking at the list on Facebook, on the Facebook post, and that's a lot. You say 18, but then you look at it, you start rattling them off. There's a lot there. That's a lot.
It is, especially because, okay, so the other fun thing about this is that we've got Kyle Can Eat. Have you heard about him?
Yeah,
he does eating challenges.
Yeah,
you're speaking of Ohio. Uh-huh. So he goes to Ohio, Indiana. You know, he's kind of like Michigan-based.
Okay.
But he'll even while they were in Florida. So what Kyle does is he's come in to downtown Jackson, and he's taking eating challenges and broke it up into two. So it was 9 the first time, and now 9 this time.
Wow.
And what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to, like, create the schedule for him, and I'm like, oh wait, there's another restaurant, you know. So yes, there's a lot of good restaurants in downtown Jackson, and you can try them out for $10 tomorrow.
Right. So when does that start? Is it just like their normal lunchtime, their lunch menu, or is there a time frame that that's served from? When's that start?
Oh, yeah, 11 to 2.
Okay.
So 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then most of them, it depends on the restaurant. We say dine-in only. Some will let you take out, but it's up to the restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's just those participating restaurants. And they have one $10 item. Now, some of them have taken a step further, like Steve's Ranch. And Faye has a whole $10 menu on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
For lunch, so go check her out as well.
And Steve's Ranch, they have good portion sizes there too.
Yes, they do.
So
a lot of them do. Honestly,
can they go to the Downtown Jackson Facebook page or to your website to see the full list?
Yeah, actually, Facebook is the best way, and that's where we're going to pull a winner from today. Actually, we just pulled it on, this morning. But Downtown Jackson MI on Facebook will give you the most up to date information. Okay. So it'll show you what everybody's having, the hours, where they're located. You can check that out too.
Okay.
Yes.
When you say pull the winner, what does that mean?
Oh, what we do every month is we pull a winner for them and their friend to bring somebody to lunch for free.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to just go find her name.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't have it announced here, you'll obviously be getting a hold of them so they can head downtown, right?
Yeah, but Mark, you're the best, so we want to announce it on
the
show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. So, do you have a favorite? I'm going to ask. It's like I'm asking your favorite child here,
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you're saying you don't like one of them, but just, when you, Beth, are taking advantage of Tuesday 10s, where's your first stop?
You know, I'm going to try the catfish sliders at the Luna Lux.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Doesn't it?
That does sound good. Really, I mean, I like catfish. I like sliders.
Yes.
It's like chocolate in your peanut butter at that point. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I had a busted potato from Chef two summers ago out of the Big Guy Catering food truck, I was just like, oh, and then when I when I found out that they were coming downtown, I was just like, yes, yes, yes. So they only open actually for this event during the day.
They're
typically evening hours, so you can check them out, you know, and it's so beautiful and swanky in there. The food is so delicious.
Right.
But, you know, there's that, you know, another place that really was like, wow, that's interesting is Dutton's Den. They had this fabulous Caesar wrap. Yeah, like a steak Caesar wrap that was really dense and consolidated. Huh. You know, Jackson Coney Island, I guess that they put some hot peppers on their items last time.
Okay.
So it turned out really good. Mary's famous cheesesteak is at Nightlight 116, so 116, if you want to go check that out. I mean, like, everyone's got these awesome, awesome items. And then some of them switch it up. Some of them, you know, they're going to keep it exactly the same because they know that that's what people want. Mm-hmm. You know, GRB last month, because it was a little bit cooler, they had like a homemade sourdough bread, a grilled cheese sandwich, tomato soup. And then this time they're going to do a fire cooked pizza. So, you can't go wrong.
How do you just rattle all this off right off the top of your head? You know,
it's food.
Oh, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I guess I can't pick a favorite, but if I had to start, and we're going to actually, with Kyle, we're going to start off at Dirty Bird this time, because you know how packed they get.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move right on over to Luna, and then hop across the street, and we're going to hit up Lean Rocket, and then we are going to go on, Cafe Fuel, excuse me. They're the ones that have the food. And then we're going to hit up Bella, and then we're going to hit up Blue Julep, skip through the alley, go hit Nightlight, and then we're going to go see Steve's Ranch and Soar and GRB.
You had to map it all out. Kidding. All right. So what time is that? Are people encouraged to kind of follow along?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what time does that start at?
Yeah. Watch us on Facebook. Come along 11 to 2.
11. So that 11 o'clock stop will be at Dirty Bird.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Sweet. All right. That's
where
awesome.
We start. Yep. And so, then you'll see us all shuffling along with cameras. And
when you came up with the idea, or whoever came up with the idea for Tuesday 10s, and what was that conversation like when you started going to downtown businesses and said, hey, this is something we really want to do. We feel like it's going to bring people downtown. How was that conversation like with the downtown businesses?
Well, it's interesting because I knew that I didn't have a lot of conversations with the downtown businesses, only because I knew that they like to go out to lunch. I've run into them enough. Yeah. Like, I watched their actions for a while.
Okay.
And I would continually hear that feedback, you know, like, oh, I just can't afford lunch any longer. Well, I was celebrating my 2-year anniversary. Melissa Evans is my team member and the one who honestly is doing so much of the work, and then I get to go talk about it, right? But her and I were celebrating my 2-year anniversary at the DDA, which is kind of big because most DDA directors don't stay longer than 3 years. It's just, you know,
it's how it is.
Crazy,
it's a turnover.
Yeah,
right.
Crazy job. Mm-hmm. So we were having lunch at Sullivan's, and I saw that he has a $10 lunch menu. And it was just like, this is so incredible. And if you haven't checked out Sullivan's, anyone, please do. Their food is amazing. Their service was great. They've got video games for the kids to play while you're waiting for your food. Like, it is so cool. But we chose the patio. So I was really impressed with that. And I followed up with Hunter because he's extremely intelligent, especially when it comes to the restaurant world, and asked him a little bit more feedback. Found out what he collected, you know, how many people were return customers. And I thought, well, here we go, you know.
Yeah.
So just started putting it together. We were so busy last Christmas that we kind of took a pause, came back at the beginning of the year and hit it hard. So that's how it all came about. And we've got 21 restaurants. And, you know, it didn't work out for everybody. But to get 18 restaurants all doing this.
That's cool.
Yeah. All in that collective step to move forward together, you know,
right.
Like link arms. And it's been really, really good. We're already looking at expanding, but I can't talk about that right now.
Not yet.
No,
but soon.
Yet. Exactly.
Okay, maybe like in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
No? All right.
All of our programs are designed to build, you know? You just got to start them off and then build them on up.
Well, speaking of building, there's so much going on. It feels like the DDA has something going on, if not every month, then a couple times a month.
Yep.
So coming up, here we are in April, and I know you've got stuff for Mother's Day coming up. Yep. Is there anything between now and Mother's Day? What's next for the DDA?
You know, there is an art walk happening on April 11th downtown from 12 until 3. And what happened is we made this great relationship with Art 634 last Christmas. We had Alan Joe Hooper kindly sponsor an art walk, and we were able to host an art walk, and it was successful, except that it was really, really cold, right? But it was beautiful. Like, this gal had bubbles, and they were freezing because it was so cold out on the street. But it was so much fun, and so we were able to, you know, create that relationship, build towards it. So April 11th from 12 to 3 is downtown Jackson Art Walk in partnership with Art 634. And then we go into
Wait. Saturday?
Yes.
Mostly sunny, 62.
Oh my gosh, I knew it.
Yes. So that's the, you know, the 11th is this Saturday. So you're looking really good for that.
Good.
Perfect.
No freezing bubbles.
Right?
Yeah, that's the only thing that holds us back is the weather. That's the only thing we can't control.
Should they get tickets ahead of time for that?
You know, that's a free event.
It's a free event. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the art walk is. So please, just come on down, visit. Yeah, grab a bite to eat. Look at some beautiful local art. We have got some talented artists in this area. Grab some gifts for people. Mother's Day is right around the corner.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So Mother's Day, we do a charcuterie board walk.
I know.
Yes. This year's turning out to be so much fun.
Yeah.
And if I get ranting on this, because I get so excited.
Okay, that's why you're here. Rant away.
Okay. All right. If you're like, we gotta thank somebody. We gotta go to a commercial. Okay, so this is really sharpening up to be really, really cool.
Okay.
So the way it's gonna start is we're gonna have charcuterie small plates in multiple different areas. So we've got the Jackson Public Schools Orchestra students setting up in multiple areas. So we've got the Jackson Career Center Culinary students setting up in an area. We've got two wineries locked in to do wine samples, but the third one pretty much there. And then let's see here. And then we've got pop-up vendors. So we've got a gal who does her own starter for sourdough bread, and she does like the classes. She's going to be there. We got the Fancy Nancy Butter coming in and partnering those two together.
Yeah.
So it's like these very niche, awesome, you know, high-end, high-quality products all within walking distance with wine. Now, we're also going to pull in a couple of non-alcoholic beverage vehicles. We've got Poor Decisions already locked in. We've got a massage therapist locked in. Got all this really cool stuff. So people can walk around, they can shop, they can sip, they can snack. It's everything for them.
Okay.
So tickets are launching soon. Once again, Facebook and Eventbrite for that. And tickets are going to be $40 and comes with six wine samplings.
Oh, well, I mean, six wine samplings, $40 for the charcuterie and for all the entertainment and everything.
Yes.
That's going to be a lot of fun. That's something that I feel like, you know, moms of a feather can flock together on that one.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Have a favorite aunt.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to lock in a henna artist right now.
A what artist?
Henna.
Henna.
We want to have a boho area where we got plants and macrame.
Okay.
And more
gotcha.
Flowy, you know, henna. So, do you know what henna is?
I don't. That's why I asked henna with a question mark.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
So, it's I'm probably going to mess this up. What I know of it is that it's a tradition in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is they used to take tea bags. So, not the ink, but the stain from the tea bags would do a design on the skin. So it fades away, but it takes a little bit of time. Now there's other cultures though, and they use different herbs or whatever to stain the skin and do these beautiful decorations.
Huh.
But so it's like a
interesting
temporary tattoo. So yeah, it's really cool.
Okay.
You'll have to try it. What they do is modern day, what they do is they pour a wax. It doesn't hurt at all or anything.
Uh-huh.
And you wait, and then it crusts up and it's kind of gross. And then you pick it off like an old scab, which is even grosser. But you end up with this beautiful artwork. So yes. Yeah, that is henna. And you can I think there's different colors.
I loved how you explained it.
I don't know how else to
And Cruisin's going to be coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming back really soon, too.
Yeah,
right?
Cruisin's.
Was the first one in May?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we May through September, we've got the fourth Friday of the month is the Cruisin' and Concerts. And it is going to be massive again this year. So really activating that space. We moved our DDA tent. If most people aren't familiar, last year we did this. So if you're still looking for us on the corner, the intersection of Jackson and Michigan, we've moved over by the chamber last year. So okay. Come on down and see us there. That's where the DDA tent's going to be.
That makes sense. It's like right in the middle.
Oh, it's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's by, you know, McKibben. How can you go
right by the K studio.
So, yeah. So we're right downtown. Uh-huh. We're in front of those studios. Like it just makes sense. And then we're activating further east. So we've got competitive cornhole coming.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. On that east end. So like in front of Ogma, RJ's. Competitive cornhole, getting the Jeeps back, you know.
Yeah.
Very active area.
Jeeps
over
and
there.
Their ducks.
Oh, we've got to have the ducks. We've got to figure something out about the ducks for sure.
All right.
So we're still raising sponsorships for
that. All right. So if someone's interested then, what do they do?
So they've got to just contact me.
Okay.
It's really cool because what we did is we worked with Jake Cross last year from Uncharted Film Company, right? We got we love Jake. So he built us up this beautiful video of his drone footage from the Cruisin' and Concert in August. And so we're going to push that out on social media this week so people can see that. I've got this beautiful impact report that shows everything that the DDA did last year. I'd love to send that out to anyone who's interested in sponsoring or partnering. And then I also have a sponsorship packet, and it's called our partnership packet. So you can see, you know, I support the DDA annually. This is what I get in return.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Best way to get a hold of you, just go to the website, or what should they do?
Best way to get a hold of me is email and my cell. My cell is 517-800-1445. So honestly, all you got to remember is 1445. The 800 will come naturally, right? And then my email, which is Jackson DDA, like Downtown Development Authority, at cityofjackson.org. Make sure it's .org.
There's a contact button on your website too,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, there is. There's a contact button on the website, on the Facebook. You can find us there. That's pretty much it.
Good. I love the energy you bring each and every day. It's good seeing you again. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:35, 25 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock, and it's a pleasure to have back in the studio. This is it's a really good vibey kind of day, because we had Beth Kuiper in earlier, and now we have Jenny Cronkite in from Jackson Magazine. Good morning and welcome.
Well, hello. Big shoes to fill.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm doing wonderful. It's a great day. I left my jacket in the car on my way in. It was wonderful and glorious. It was
nice,
so nice.
Sunny. Did you guys have a good Easter?
We had a wonderful Easter. There were three different Easter egg hunts that my kids did. One sponsored by the Easter Bunny, and two other ones sponsored by different grandmas on each side of the family.
Those are good ones. Those are good ones.
Are very nice.
There's sometimes I guess I'm still triggered from like when my kids were little and we would go out to some of those community type sponsored ones.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And at the time, we weren't living in the community, so we were out somewhere else, right?
Yep.
Boy, those parents can get competitive. Those parents can get competitive. You know what? Those really big Easter egg hunts. You know what I'm talking about.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I went to a couple as a kid, when I was a kid, and then I ended up with like one Easter egg, and then somebody took it out of my hand because that was like another big kid took it away, and there you go.
But the family ones are perfect. Good pace, good speed.
Absolutely.
What can I ask? What the Easter bunny put in the eggs?
So there was a mix. So the Easter Bunny did a mix of candy and a little bit of like coin changes.
Coins. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
One of my, the grandmother on like my mom, she, oh my gosh. So she and Papa decided that they were going to have foldable money. And so there was foldable money in the
Foldable money. Okay.
Foldable money.
The kids got dollars.
I wanted to be a part of this Easter egg hunt, but it was only for those 18 and under. My nephew and my niece participated. He just like on Easter was his 18th birthday level.
Okay.
So he and my 16-year-old niece participated. So the foldable money, I think, was more for them. But man, my 9 and 7-year-old, they think they are hot stuff right now. They got all this pocket money. You have to save a little, give a little, and then spend a little. They don't seem to think that's how the world should work.
That's what grandparents are supposed to do.
Man,
right?
Spoilage has happened.
That's right. So the bar is high for you and Donovan at some point. That's years down the road.
Down the road. 9-7. Down the road.
But the bar is high.
There you are. Yes, so. Absolutely.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys had a great Easter experience.
It was a wonderful weekend, yeah.
So this edition, the April edition of Jackson Magazine, has one of my favorite people, Liz Wigington, on the cover.
Love her.
Yeah, absolutely. She's awesome.
Very, very true. So in April, we were talking about women in business. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways when I approached people about the stories for April, I said, so yes, the theme is women in business, but it's more let's group together awesome stories about business owners and leaders who happen to be women more than it is we want to go out and like specifically target a whim, like kind of fill a quota or anything of that nature. So there's awesome stories. They're all Jackson Magazine style. They just happen to be about women who are in business.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, let's start off with the Crazy Cowboy.
Yes.
Since she's on the cover.
Of course.
And was she picked to be on the cover because of the margarita flights or no?
So, no. No, okay. No.
I'm kidding.
That was not it at all. So, originally, this edition kind of started a little bit about the stories that we found on Mechanic Street in downtown Jackson. So, I think it's fun that you guys had Beth in here a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And then, so what you're going to find is Crazy Cowboy, Elevate Aesthetics, and then Farm Suds. And so, Elevate Aesthetics actually pivoted, and now they're located not so far away from the radio station.
Right.
But that was one of the original genesis of, like, how we picked the different stories.
Okay.
And so, the Crazy Cowboy, we felt was one of the original anchor points of that section, just kind of editorially. That's what the editorial advisory board was like. Yeah, that makes sense. They were there. They've been there the longest. So let's make them kind of the lead. And of course, you know, all good things, and we can pivot as well when they happen. So when Elevate moved, you know, locations, if you will, then it still made sense to feature everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things pivoted.
Things pivoted. So
women in business is there.
So tell me about the Crazy Cowboy, the story with Liz Wigington. Just kind of, you know, obviously don't give us all the details, but what's going to direct our listeners to pick up Jackson Magazine and check out the cowboy story?
What I love about this is it's kind of, I want to use the word millennial coming of age story. And the reason I want to use those words specifically about the Crazy Cowboy, because if you all remember the cowboy way back in the day, if you're a millennial or older, you remember some pretty amazing street parties. You remember some pretty crazy shots and some pretty awesome parties and some things that just, you know, what happened there stayed there. Just what it was. Just what those parties were.
Yeah.
And hopefully you took a taxi home or had a sober friend. Now the coming of age part is that the Crazy Cowboy has really turned into a family restaurant that happens to also have a bar. Mm-hmm. And so there, if you definitely wanted to live it up, I'm sure there's absolutely a way to do that. But the main purpose of the establishment and the staff is really that family vibe. And it's nice because you're able to go in there and it's kind of like it's kind of grown up with people over the years. So
that's a great way of putting it. It's true. It has. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a family classic. And I think there's this sweet spot where they've found like, if you still want to go out and have a little bit of fun, that's totally fine. You got an earlier bedtime now. And that they do, you know, and they close a little bit earlier than the, you know, crazy 2 a.m.s and the whatevers that used to happen way back in the day. But they've come of age and they are this great kind of fun focal point that is in that section of Mechanic Street. And so we talk a lot about that in the story about how they're coming of age. And now they're this family friendly sort of establishment. And then also they retell some of the kind of pivotal years during COVID and how they kind of made a go of that.
The Wigingtons took that over. Like,
right around that. Yep. Okay. Right around that time. So they were able to figure out a way to have the takeout, the food as like a takeout because you couldn't do the dine-in service. But you were also then able to have little small vendor points throughout the restaurant. So if people were having, for some reason, masks come to mind, but if they were...
triggering COVID was.
Yes, it was. But they were not a retail, but like a volunteer, like create the mask. They were like a donation point where people would take the mask and then they would like connect them with other people that needed them. So it was kind of a way to help the community. So there's a lot during the... like during the story that you're going to read that talks about kind of those years and then what they did with those to kind of stay that anchor point for that section and for the whole community as well.
Okay. Now the business that was downtown on Mechanic Street, which is now just around the corner.
Yes.
Elevate. And the old Comerica building is now, tell us about Elevate.
So Elevate Aesthetics. So they are, they rejuvenate perspectives on aging and appearance is kind of one of the taglines that you're going to read. And one of the things that really drew us to Elevate Aesthetics with the idea of having women in business is that not only is Elevate Aesthetic owned and run by a woman, it also is one of those organizations that kind of classically helps cater to women. They absolutely help men. Don't get me wrong. They absolutely help men. But as a bit of a medical spa, that's definitely more of a feminine space, I think, that you're going to find on the clientele side and also kind of on the practitioner side. And so we loved it for that. And one of the things that we really liked about the story is the way that they are trying to have women embrace the natural beauty that they have throughout the ages. So as you age, things happen, skin changes, you might have new fun bits of acne or all these other things, you know, that, that kind of pop up. Don't laugh at me.
There's nothing
You have a beautiful beard. It is fine. You are not
nothing
subject
fun
to this.
About acne.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
The fun bits and, of acne made me laugh. I'm sorry. You're a funny person, Jenny.
That's my natural sarcasm for you. There you go. So what we really liked about it, though, is that they have a push for the natural beauty to enhance what is there. And so they will sit down with clients that come in and say, you know, I whatever, I'm pushing 40 and suddenly I want to look like Tyra Banks. Well, honey. Let's have some realistic expectations around what all that could could be, because she's a supermodel. So we aren't saying you're not pretty and all, but like they do such a better job. You have to read the article. But the idea is to kind of embrace naturally what's there and to make sure that you walk in with the right type of expectations, because a lot of the treatments that you might see, like a Botox or some type of filler or whatever that treatment is, it isn't going to be a one-size-fits-all solution. For everyone. So when you come in and say, here's exactly what I need, they will kind of talk you through those options to make sure that is truly what, in your case, you actually need for the type of results that you're looking for. And sometimes they have to help right size what you're thinking and say, yeah, remember what you said? Here's the type of improvements you can expect, but they're not going to be, again, not walking out like Tyra Banks.
Well, let me kind of put this in, if I can, maybe try to put this in a different perspective. Let me do it from a sales side because, you know, you and I both kind of work in sales a little bit. Yeah. And when you're talking with a new client, they want this. And you're like, well, after finding out what your goals and your needs are, why don't we do this?
100%.
So it's kind of like, am I hitting the right vein? Is that kind of like the same thing? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, that makes sense.
I love the Midwestern not pushiness that comes off with Elevate Aesthetics. And that's one of the things that I think Stephanie and her crew do really well. So it is real and it is like we will help figure out what makes sense, but we're not going to push you into things that aren't correct for you. And I love that about it.
With Julie and Aaron. And I love how they have their own overalls with their names on it.
Oh, for Farm Sense? Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, absolutely.
We're pivoting over to healthcare. From healthcare to soap making.
Yes.
This is fun. This looks fun.
So Julie is like a classically trained nurse. So she was an RN nurse and she was working for quite a while. I think it was in pharmaceutical research.
Right.
And what happened, sort of the way the story for Farm Suds goes, is that Julie's husband was buying like goat soap off of the internet for some like dermatology type need. And she kind of looked at it and laughed and said, you know, I could do that and probably do it better. And he was like, really? Do it. And like all awesome women, she was like, okay. And then she did. And she created a business around it. And then Aaron, who's the family member, joined in. Farm Suds was kind of born. They originally, I think their first location was in Chelsea.
Okay.
And they had rented a space, kind of basement level space, as a production facility. Then when they were getting ready to open, they realized they weren't zoned just for soap production. You had to actually have a retail space. So they opened up a little shop in the front and didn't really expect anybody to come in. And then people did. And they realized that model of having some foot traffic and having some production space was really kind of a nice, wonderful sweet spot for them.
Yeah.
And then that kind of blossomed and bloomed. And I think it was Aaron that said, you know, Jackson is really the place you kind of need to be. And so if we're going to have this foot traffic mm-hmm. type model, we need to make sure that we're, you know, in the different communities. And so they opened up the Jackson location and it's thriving.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And that one's on Mechanic also.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Right.
Very good. So that's fun. Fun story.
Very fun story.
All good news all the time. And you're getting insight like that on mm-hmm. on farm sides that we just didn't have before.
And that is one of the things mm-hmm. that I think is great about the magazine, because you mm-hmm. can kind of dive into a lot of wonderful, heartwarming stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're about big business. Sometimes they're going to be about smaller businesses. And it always comes about with the focus is on the people
yeah.
that are kind of making those organizations great.
And the soap that you have featured here looks like a piece of art.
It does.
It doesn't look like soap. I mean, it looks like the thing that someone's going to purchase to put on the, you know, the sink right there. And don't touch it. You can look at it, but don't touch it. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
But you're going to want to use it.
I can see that. Yep, yeah. On page 26. Yep, yeah. I can see that. Because it is a handcrafted soap. It absolutely is. And it has the beautiful decals and things on it for those of you that can't see mm-hmm. it. It's kind of a
you're going to have to pick up the magazine.
You are
going
to have to pick up the magazine
to
see it.
All right. 100%. Or go into Farm Suds and check it out, too.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what's the next thing coming up? We've got, it seems like every month Jackson Magazine has something going
yep.
on. What's
right
the next
now,
thing?
Healthcare Angel nominations are open. So we want you to nominate somebody that's impacted your personal healthcare. So somebody mm-hmm. within Jackson. It could be a CNA. It might be somebody who is, like, honest to goodness, it could be the receptionist. If they work in the healthcare space, they are helping save your life. Like, in general, that is what people in healthcare do. So if there is somebody in that space that is helping in whatever the capacity, could be an OT, could be a I don't know, anything. It doesn't just have to be a doctor or MD kind of thing. And so those people that help in your life, phlebotomists, mm-hmm. for example, they make an impact on your healthcare. And when you find people that are amazing at the craft that they practice in the medical space, then we want to make sure that they get nominated and see if they want to move forward with the process.
All right. So what if someone wants to nominate? Mm-hmm. What do they do?
So you can go to our website, so jacksonmagazine.org.
Okay.
And then underneath the awards tab, you can click on Healthcare Angels. And then it will have like a link on that page for you to go and submit a nomination. And we usually ask for their first name, last name, where they work. Mm-hmm. If you can give us their email address, all the better. If you can't, we understand. We'll call the organization where they work and say, hey, we heard you have a Bob Smith or what have you that works here. And then they'll be like, yeah, actually, we don't. And we'll be like, but don't you? So the submission came in. Here's kind of their story. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, Bobby. And we'll be like, yes, that one.
Not Bob, but Bobby.
Right, yes. Right. Yes. And then other times they come up blank and they're like, we don't have anybody by that name. And I'm like, oh, well, shoot. If you know of them, let me know. So it's always good, though, if you have some contact information and correct spelling on the names and things, that really helps. It because helps. Oftentimes what happens is with the nominations, the name is just enough off that the people that we're talking to don't recognize it. So Smith could be Smithinson or something.
Right.
So there isn't a Robert Smith, but it's a Smith.
How are nominations going so far? You have a lot that have come in?
We haven't started our big media push yet for it. So that starts actually kind of in like the next week is when we really start pushing, and that's when email blasts will get sent out. So I think right now you have a handful that come in the quote unquote off season, but we always try to do a month and a half push before the nominations are due. So this is like the big nomination push time.
Okay.
And so this is when they start to come in. And so then, we have the normal like 2025.
A lot of work happens after the deadline has expired.
100%.
When do Healthcare Angels get recognized?
September.
In September. Okay.
Yep.
So it's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
So nominate them now.
Absolutely. Nominate them now. And then every nominee will be sent out a link to a questionnaire. And then they're asked to fill out a little survey about themselves and what they do. And really tell us their story. And if they don't choose to send back that questionnaire, then there isn't really a lot that we can do to help recognize them, because it's really up to them to put their hat into the ring and like raise their hand. So Yeah, it's always fun.
Top teachers coming up.
Yes, top teachers. So the event is coming up in May. So we have 12 teachers that we're honoring this year, one teacher of the year, and then 11 top teachers. So we are just thrilled with the way that's coming down. But we're going to be honoring those teachers in May.
Yeah.
The list is public. It's not as if it's not. It's just that we don't want to take over all the other media cycles with that information until the event and the edition is actually out. So you can, if you're a top teacher, you can say you're a top teacher. That's completely fine. They're not lying. And they're not. But we field that call, I think, once a week from different school districts this time of year. Mm-hmm. Like, are you sure I can share? Yes, you can share. And I'll even reshare it. But I'm not going to tell everybody yet who's everybody, because those press releases come out in May.
The stories and headshots haven't been released yet.
Or taken. Well, no.
Some have been taken.
No, they're in. No, it's in layout.
Are they?
No, it's in layout. Okay. Yeah, I was like, no, are they? No, they have been. Yeah, they have been taken. They're in layout. Sorry.
But that'll be that'll be the May edition, which we'll talk more about once we get
next month.
Once we get to May.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Very good. All right, looking forward to it. Anything we didn't talk about, Jenny Cronkite from Jackson Magazine, that we should be talking about today?
I feel like that's probably all of it at this point.
All right. But I didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah,
just
in case. All good.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you for
having
me.
Where can people find the magazine?
They can find a digital version on our website, or they can stop into our office. And we're on Shirley Drive, kind of the OG hospital road. Or not hospital, hotel.
Woo. Right.
Monopoly.
And if you you make me laugh. If you have appointments at a variety of businesses all across Jackson, you're going to see Jackson Magazine out on those tables.
Absolutely. Yes. And if you are an organization and for some reason you're not getting a copy and you want one, let me know and we can send you out a subscription for free.
All right. Now, again, they can contact you through the website, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Good seeing you.
Hey, it's nice to see you too.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.